we're seeing some of our own startups that are kind of hitting a mature phase. And some of the top people there are like, you know what? I want to go create my own business.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
We want those creators, those innovators to go continue to create and innovate. And if you fail, great. That's okay. Try again. And our whole community will get behind you and continue to support you even if you fail. Try again. Try again. And, you know, and that's what, you know, you talk to a lot of successful people and they're, you know, they're not geniuses. They just don't know how to quit.
Ted Alling is one of the creators and founding partners of the Lamppost Group, a startup incubator in the heart of the Innovation District. I sat down with Ted to learn more about his journey as an entrepreneur, from starting a business with two of his friends to the creation of the Lamppost Group. But in the midst of our conversation, the direction of our discussion drifted to thinking about leadership, citizenship, and community engagement. So I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did, as we explore the innovation economy, education, and what makes Chattanooga such a unique place to live, work, and give back. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. All right, Ted, welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. Great to be here. I enjoy listening to it.
Thank you. Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I bring people here all the time in the studio for the podcast, but this is essentially your office, right?
Yeah, we're right in the back of Lamppost Group here off Market Street.
Yeah.
You didn't bring any coffee for me.
We were supposed to have met at the camp house and walked over.
Okay.
I don't think that excuse works, but
the new Congo coffee at camp house is legit.
Yeah, you were quick to notice that. We use Mad Priest now at the camp house. We're really proud of what Michael's creating here in Chattanooga and look to support him as much as we can. So, and have you been in there a couple times?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's become a stop for me now on the way in, especially with my kids. It's right next to the donut place.
Yeah, that's true. You know, they're actually going to be cutting a door between the donut place and the coffee shop, yeah. Which will be super convenient when that happens. Well, today, you know, I wanted to have Ted on the podcast because I actually want to learn more about Lamppost Group, and I want Chattanooga to learn more about Lamppost Group. And, you know, as I was, you know, studying for this podcast, I realized there's actually a lot out there on you and Access America and your two friends who started that and sold that company, but I couldn't find a lot about you guys sort of stepping back from there and actually starting Lamppost.
Okay.
And but maybe before we should get there, you should introduce yourself a little bit to the people who might not know anything about Lamppost Group or about yourself.
Okay. Ted Alling here. I'm hail from Birmingham, Alabama. Grew up down there and actually went really far away to school to Samford, 4 miles away from my folks. When I was down in Birmingham, I actually pledged a fraternity, and I got to be best friends with two kids from Chattanooga, and we were pledged brothers and best friends in college, and hung out, took all of our classes together, and we actually met my wife my senior year down at Samford, and we've been married 16 years. But right out of school, the two of us kind of talked about starting a business together and didn't come to fruition. And I took a job with a global logistics company right out of school in Birmingham. Then I got transferred to Nashville and then lived up there for about a year and a half. Visited Chattanooga on a sales call to one of those two guys, Barry Large, and his dad owned a brick company here called Key James Brick. And we kind of got in a room and said, hey, let's start a business together and kind of set some big goals. And we're super lucky and we're able to start a logistics company called Access America Transport in 2002. And I'll kind of get into Lamppost, if that's okay. We started another company, 5 years later, a trucking company called AAT Carriers, which we still own. We do some government work and some high security stuff. And then we ended up starting a year later, we started a company called Reliance Partners Insurance. And Reliance Partners Insurance specializes in trucking, transportation, logistics insurance. And we were so, Access America worked with 44,000 different trucking companies. Mm. It was kind of a natural fit for us to just kind of sell them insurance.
Yeah.
And so we, in 2010, we were, I guess, around 32 years old, and we had three companies all doing really well in the black. My partner, Alan, went to the West Coast and got real involved with something called Singularity. I don't know if you're familiar with some of those guys out there, Ray Kurzweil and Peter Diamandis. He got involved in that, and he was at that time thinking about possibly moving to the West Coast. And I was kind of convincing him to stay because I didn't want him to leave. And at the same time, EPB was kind of releasing the gig. And a kind of funny story. Alan does not like going to meetings. And I drug him to a meeting. And we showed up at EPB. And he's like, what's going on? And it was like a kind of a, before they did the big PR release on the gig, they kind of were telling some local business people. And we looked around and, you know, we were definitely the youngest people in there. And they're releasing the gig. And Alan, his eyes just get wide. He's like, do you realize how big this is? And he kind of raises his hand and he goes, hey, has anyone bought the gig yet? And everyone's like, oh, no. We don't even know how to price it. Alan's like, I want to be the first one to get it. And he stood up and said, do you guys realize, you know, Ted and I are the youngest ones in here, and that's the problem. No one understood what the gig meant at that point. And so that, that was kind of, I think that kind of showed the city was continue to look forward and believe in itself and invest in, the future here. And, so that kind of led, and at that time Lost was a big show. You remember that TV show? And so Lamp Post Group was kind of, as a reference of C.S. Lewis and also Lost. And so, it's a place where you kind of come back to the island and start over. Because we had this big company and we don't like managing, we're more startup-y people. When companies get huge, that's not a good phase for us. We like getting a whiteboard and the insane part, the dreamers and just, you know, getting around some entrepreneurs that are, you know, have a big vision and kind of helping them out early stage. That's what we really like. And so, we came up with Lamp Post Group. And John Healy was our realtor. Him both kind of convinced us to move downtown, and so we kind of went in the middle of the business district and kind of stuck our flagpole here and said we want to do this next 20 years.
Yeah. Now, was that at Warehouse Row, or are you talking about the actual Loveman's building?
I'm saying Loveman's building. Okay. And so we were here first. Access America at that time was out at Eastgate, and so we moved down here and just we kind of felt the energy and things were starting to move, and so then we decided to move. Access America that time from Eastgate down to Warehouse Row. And I'll tell you, we did a brand change. Fancy Rhino, one of our companies, they do video production and design stuff. They came to us and said, gosh, y'all's logo is so terrible. And it hurt. It crushed me. I was like, what? Our logo is freaking awesome. And they're like, no, it's terrible. And so they did a whole brand change around probably 2011. And I was like, oh, yeah, that looks much better. And so they kind of helped us do some neat video work and logo stuff. And so that Lamp Post was started then. And we made kind of that first year, we made four investments into some startups. And it's been a wild ride.
Yeah. So, you know, when I read the history of Access America and how, you know, you guys handed off control of the company way before you sold it. I mean, is there a level of truth where maybe you guys just got a little bit bored? Is that how you're describing that?
I would say, yeah, for sure. Alan was bored to death. Baron, I still probably liked it more than he did. But it was just not our strength. You know, you just kind of go to the same conferences and see the same people. And we like to innovate and start new things. And we're not great managers. I mean, we're terrible managers, actually.
Well, actually, so other than boredom, like, what's a sign that for other companies, you know, this isn't necessarily a business podcast or anything like that, but what's a sign for other companies that, hey, you're actually not a good manager?
Isn't that a good question? Yeah. We have, for some reason, I feel like we've got good self. We kind of know what we're good at, the three of us, and we can be in a room and know what each other's thinking. Like talking to you, I'd know what they were thinking right now. They'd know what I was thinking. So we've got,
that's why I only asked one of you on the
podcast. Exactly. So, I don't know. We just recognized, and I've said this before, but Chad Eichelberger was kind of, he was our sixth employee, and, he came in one day and he was like, you know, hey, Ted, he's like, hey, what if we start sending this report out on Fridays? And I'm like, oh, yeah, good idea. We need to start doing that. And then he's like, hey, Ted, I'm going to organize this golf trip in like Dallas. We have a lot of customers down there. Do you mind if I put this together? We're like, oh, good idea, Chad. Yeah. And we kind of, he just continued to do that. And we just looked up one day and we're like, Chad's running the company. Like, I'm not. I should be doing all that. And we just recognized, you see most companies kind of hold power at the top. And they don't want to, they just want to hold on to every little bit they can. We're very good at letting go stuff, I think. Maybe to a fault sometimes, but we're, we don't mind throwing someone the keys and letting them drive.
Yeah. And something else that I read in the story of Access America that actually just kind of came up every time I read it was you guys seem to be very open to crediting a lot of your early success, a lot of your early breaks to, number one, other entrepreneurs in Chattanooga who are incredibly encouraging to you guys and kind of looked out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, to local companies right here in Chattanooga. In places like Komatsu, who was one of your early clients. You know, I'm kind of interested in, because that story is told so often in that way, obviously the local Chattanooga businesses and economy has really had an impact on you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And how has that early support really shaped your vision for investing in Chattanooga, for investing in new companies, for really, you know, what I see is turning the three of you into pretty serious entrepreneurship mentors within this city.
Yeah. I think probably a lot of that had to do with Barry's dad, who had the brick company, who kind of invested in us. And when we started Access America, that was not like a cool time to be like a tech startup. It wasn't like Mark Zuckerberg wasn't around. And so we just wanted to start a business.
Well, not even just that. You're doing a tech startup in a very unsexy business.
Right, exactly.
Logistics isn't.
Yeah. So I think definitely Jim Large kind of paved the way in some way. And then I also think about Alan's dad. Gary Davis was kind of head of Coca-Cola. And so Alan was so fiercely, he still is, fiercely loyal to Coke. Like, we can't eat a Taco Bell or Pizza Hut in college. He will not, you know, ever take a sip of Pepsi. And so I think Chattanooga is so formed by Coca-Cola with Jack Lupton and Summerfield Johnson and a lot of these really serious people that, you know, started the aquarium and started all of the ball rolling. And so, we feel like, you know, that we definitely want to be kind of part of the next generation that's taking the torch and helping to kind of pave the city to pay it forward. And that's something we have with all of our companies. One of my favorite quotes is, if you can just help enough people get what they want in life, you can have anything you want. Zig Ziglar says that. And so we take that approach at all times. Like, I want this to be the best podcast. I want Camp House to be help you have the best coffee house. And just, if we can have that mentality with everyone we meet, I meet with all of our employees at different companies. And I'm like, if this is not what you're fulfilled and this is not what you want to do, like, move on. Let's help you get there. And so we just want to be surrounded with people that this is like what their passion is. And, they want to work their butts off and make, you know, do well for their family and help build this community.
Yeah, and I think that's so encouraging to hear you describe it that way. Your eyes are wide open in the fact that you're following in the footsteps of a generation of Chattanoogans that came before you that really just laid the groundwork for everything we see here, right? Like, you can't walk down the street and not see the impact of what the last two generations of Chattanoogans have created that we get to live into.
Yeah, and I think there's a big vacuum right now. A lot of these folks have gotten older and their kids aren't living here. And so it's going to take a lot of us to stand up to kind of equal what the giving and a lot of the great philanthropies and things make our community awesome. It's going to take a big slug of people to kind of make up for kind of the loss of vacuum of power here.
Well, you know, in that last piece, you mentioned philanthropy and how, you know, people are going to need to step into that role. And I think we're going to get there later in the podcast. But, you know, first I do want to talk about the growth of Lamp Post Group over the past 4 years, you know, especially after 2014, when you guys finally sold Access America to Coyote Logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys all stayed here in Chattanooga to pursue Lamp Post Group and to invest in the companies that you guys have here. You know, talk a little bit more about what's happened since 2014, how that's changed, you know, all of your job descriptions to focus more on this and then talk about the way that Lamp Post has grown since then. Cause you guys have added a few elements.
Yeah. So, we definitely, after we sold, we kind of reinvested into Lamp Post. I guess to date we've probably invested in 22 companies. We've put over $30 million of our own money into, all of these different companies here and these entities. And we're very hyper focused mentors. You know, we do a lot of the back office functions for a lot of the companies. In fact, we just rolled out one of our back office functions. We rolled out into its own CPA firm called Market Street Partners.
Oh yeah. Yep. I've talked to those guys.
Yeah. And so kind of backing up, we sold the company, and then my wife and I and our kids took a year sabbatical. We actually moved to London for a year, and it was something my wife grew up internationally and I did as a young child. So it's something we wanted to kind of give our kids to have that experience. And it was good for me to kind of go down a few notches. Of course I get over there and I get super busy, but, I ended up becoming a mentor for something called Techstars. And Techstars, they've got a really neat London-based Techstars is one of the biggest ones. And the executive director and I, a guy named John Bradford, got to be good buddies. And so we hung out a lot, and I got to know the teams over there. And he really wanted to come to Chattanooga, so he was in New York. And he goes, hey, I want to visit Chattanooga. I talked about it for a year. And so he came and visited, and he just gave a real good deep dive of kind of our portfolio at Lamp Post and different things we do. And so we're sitting at the terminal. It's a funny story. Actually, Charlie Brock was there with us, and he was like, golly, he's like, what is Chattanooga's unfair advantage? And he goes, I think it's trucking logistics. He goes, you've got, Coyote obviously has got a big presence here. Bell Hops is one of our big companies.
Yeah.
U.S. Express, Kenco. Steam Logistics, VW makes cars here. And he goes, bloody hell. We're sitting in the terminal. He goes, bloody hell, look at the effing train on the train on the choo-choo sign. He goes, you guys know transportation logistics better than any other city. And so literally that was kind of the start of something we ended up naming Dynamo. And so he said, we were looking at ways we could continue to get entrepreneurs here. And, we were going to do our own accelerator, Lamp Post Accelerator. And we thought, man, we could get teams from, if we did our own just tech accelerator in Chattanooga, we could draw really good Southeast talent.
Yeah.
No doubt. Kentucky, Georgia, Florida, we could get teams here for that. But if we focused on something we're good at, let's see what happens. And so we kind of got laser focused on logistics and transportation. And the Wall Street Journal ended up doing an article about it. And we had 140 teams apply to Dynamo, the first cohort. Mm-hmm. And we ended up bringing 10 teams for a three-month deal. So it was a three-month sprint in Chattanooga. And we ended up having a team from London, Dublin, Monterey, Mexico, San Francisco, Des Moines, Iowa, Boston, Atlanta, Mobile. And so it was like it just got real global real quick. And we had this just unbelievable demo day. I mean, the net worth and the investors we had our demo day. I don't know if there's ever been as many great investors.
Yes, you had investors fly from outside to come to it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. 9 of the teams got funded completely, and they were raising $300,000 to really $3 million. And 9 of the teams got funded. And I mean, it was all the big, in our industry, the UPSs and FedExes, and Gary Vaynerchuk was there, and it was just a really neat event. And we're like, wow, we kind of filled a cool hole in the market.
Yeah.
And so we're really kind of doubling down and getting, and now we're getting more global sponsors interested, and people told us the event, they're like, we're not going to miss this. And they said, this is every good as bad as Y Combinator or Techstars. So that was fun. And so we're kind of gearing up right now for our second Dynamo, which will kind of launch in May.
Well, yeah, I mean, so that's fascinating. I mean, you guys, like you said, you guys could have started just a regular run-of-the-mill tech startup, tech accelerator, and gotten a whole slew of different talented people in here. But because of your own expertise, you guys chose to focus on something that wasn't happening anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I mean, yeah, that's just an amazing example of. I think you guys even use the word disruptor. Mm-hmm. You want to be a disruptor within the logistics.
But Matt, it was so cool. I mean, the whole community totally rallied behind it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got support, C-level support from all those companies that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
That were just, and I don't think that happens in other cities. I know it doesn't happen. They don't care. But our community sees, wow. And you know what? Three of the companies ended up moving to Chattanooga
through this. That's fantastic.
And so, and now they want to be mentors. They want to help out, and they kind of see the vision, and they just see, you know, they want to be part of just something transformational.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's a story that comes up all the time over and over again when I do talk with business leaders mm-hmm. who are anchored in downtown.
Right.
Just the way of how unique it is. The city comes behind what they're doing. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what it is. But when they're on board to do something big, this city does a really good job of supporting those people mm-hmm. And coming behind those ideas.
Mm.
Well, you know, something actually to kind of pause from Lamppost Group for just a second, because you brought up Dynamo, you brought up logistics and how this is such a hub for transportation in general. You know, I had Bridget Massengale on here not too long ago to talk about 2055, Thrive 2055, and transportation is a huge issue there. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, have you guys, as Dynamo, Lamppost Group, in any way, like, how involved have you guys been in those conversations with them, just because transportation is going to be such a massive issue for our city over the next 10, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, we've definitely touched base. We're not in the nitty gritty details of that, but we've definitely attended meetings and they've asked for our opinions, and we're not like helping out in a major way, but we're at those conversations.
Yeah. Cause I mean, just from a logistics perspective, you know, my conversation with Bridget is like, you know, the Panama Canal is expanding. Savannah Port's expanding.
Right.
It's being shipped right to our doorstep and then mm-hmm. getting on our roads. So it creates a pretty fascinating logistics. Well, you know, you can call it a nightmare or you can see it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's going to be interesting over the next 15
years. It's
going to
be huge. I mean, and I know this kind of from our company, Steam Logistics, but like, the number one and number two ports in the world, number one is LA and two is Long Beach.
Okay.
And with the canal, the Panama Canal growing, Savannah is going to blow up
yeah.
in a huge, huge, huge way.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be, it's going to be good for the Southeast for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Thrive 2055 is really focusing on these issues and how they're going to affect our region. And so, you know, you guys can learn more about them if you just look up thrive2055.org and you can see more about what we're talking about with this transportation issue. Well, you know, kind of back to Lamppost Group and the way this company has grown over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, something you guys have gotten into is not just investing in companies, local companies, local startups, but actually investing in downtown itself, in physical structures with Lamppost properties.
Mm.
So kind of talk about the impetus. Why have you guys moved into the real estate market like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, our first real estate purchase was this floor here at Loveman's Building. We just loved it. It's kind of like you can't recreate downtown, right?
Yeah, yep.
It's like, you know, there's surrounding areas you can go buy a property, but it's like beachfront or, you know, a mountain. You can't recreate that. And so with all these old, beautiful buildings downtown, and it feels like millennials want to live more downtown. And,
yep.
and then older people are wanting to move downtown. My folks live in Birmingham, and my dad talks about all the time getting a condo downtown Chattanooga.
Yeah.
So we just saw... We saw it happening and we thought, you know, wow, wouldn't it be neat to be like investing in downtown Austin, Texas 30 years ago or 20 years ago, right? That'd be probably a pretty good bet. And so we saw some great opportunities downtown in the Innovation District, and we now have 7 properties just right around here. And it's really kind of all we're interested in doing is stuff around this vicinity.
Yeah, in the Innovation District.
In the Innovation District. And really just, I mean, we're filling our own need too. We've got, you know, a lot of companies down here, so it's just like, hey, why don't we just kind of invest in ourselves?
Yeah.
And something that we're, you know, kind of our crown jewel would definitely be the Tomorrow Building. We've got, it's kind of a startup hostel type thing that Tiffany Robinson came up with. We have 38 rooms. And then we're gonna have some neat tenants on the bottom floors. And we wanted to make it just like, we wanted people around the globe to be like, wow, that is different. That is cool.
Yeah, exactly. How'd you come up with the idea? How did that idea germinate as far as, well, explain more specifically what it is. You say you have 38 beds. It's really a co-living, co-working space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, Tiffany kind of came up with the idea. She kind of pitched it to us, and we thought, it kind of goes along with our mission of making Chattanooga the best place in the world to live and work. And it's just right here in the Innovation District. It used to be the old Yesterdays. I'm not from Chattanooga, but all the folks that we have that grew up in Chattanooga knew the bar Yesterdays. And so they had a great branding idea and technique. And so we've called it the Tomorrow Building. So it's got 38 rooms, and it's got a community manager that lives there full time that really, you know, organizes pub crawls or, you know, Broadway shows or walking tours or just a host of neat things that's going to attract good talent to our city. And it's very like short-term leases. Like you can, you know, you can live there for a few weeks or a few months or whatever. And so it's really, and we want rooms there when we bring in neat speakers, like, hey, you know, or neat just speakers or entrepreneurs or scientists or whatever, neat cultural people, arts, whatever, bring them to Chattanooga for a while, give them a room there. So they kind of feel the energy of downtown and see that it's different. It's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
We were very excited how it's turned out.
Yeah. And it's so progressive that even, you know, publications, when they talk about the Tomorrow Building, you know, this would be progressive in New York City if it was in New York City, but it's here in Chattanooga. And so, you know, as the Camp House, you know, being a block away, we're thrilled for it to open. And then, you know, you guys got to be thrilled too, having that building there with the plans for Miller Park, Miller Plaza, mm-hmm. and Patton Parkway to transform over the next 2 years. That's going to be an amazing place to live. So, yeah, it's a perfect location.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's so wild living here in Chattanooga in 2017. You know, I was grabbing lunch the other day and I saw a guy that's moved here from San Francisco with a team, and he does AI programming for Alexa. So, you know, Amazon's Echo.
Yeah.
He got a startup that's programming just for the new Alexa, which is a brand new thing in a couple of years in the podcast. I'm crazy saying that, but I think it's so neat to just see some guy being, hey, I want to be part of the movement. People are moving here from all over. And, you know, and something that really drives us, I think, is just this whole community is like, you know, that guy and his team, you know, they've got, you know, really brilliant spouses and partners, and they're going to have smart kids, and they're going to volunteer for stuff. And they're going to, what happens to a community when we get a lot of like-minded people that are kind of thinking about paying it forward?
Well, absolutely.
Crime goes down, restaurants get better, bars get better, the whole quality of life here improves.
Yeah. It's not just that one company or anything like that. It's the entire surrounding community, mm-hmm. Within that area. And I think that's, you know, when I had Ken Hayes on for the Innovation District, and that's their point. They want to pack this. That's why we created the Innovation District, to be able to pack mm-hmm. so many like-minded people into one area, because, you know, so many studies of innovation districts prove it's density that matters, and that creates more ideas and that fuels more ideas. So.
It's true. I mean, the collision points in Camp House is definitely a massive collision point for the Innovation District. I'll bring in an investor or an entrepreneurial, and I'll see someone else sitting there, and I'm like, y'all need to talk. And then who knows what happens with that conversation.
Yeah.
And so we just want to have, like you said, pack them all into the density here downtown and just, you know, see what happens.
Well, you know, we were having a conversation earlier, and in that conversation, you were talking about how there's a bit of a generational gap in Chattanooga. Mm. And this is kind of where I want to go in terms of leadership, in terms of investment, in terms of philanthropy. And I think that, you know, I'll say this because you said it earlier, people do see you as a next generation to fill that sort of gap of what has made the city great. Mm-hmm. And you've taken the first step in that, and you stepped out and you're going to be creating the Chattanooga Boys Leadership Academy, correct?
Mm, yep. It's actually, we've kind of named it Chattanooga Prep, but yeah, okay. It's definitely gonna be a leadership academy.
Okay. And that's going to be right there by CGLA in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Why you're doing this, why you're passionate about this, because you've personally invested not just money, but a whole lot of time at this point into making this happen. And so, you know, tell us the story about Chattanooga Prep.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, kind of that year away sabbatical, my wife and I are just kind of focused on what we want to kind of give to. In the last couple of years, I've been a mentor at Howard High School, and kind of the two main guys that I've mentored, one's in prison and the other one is at Tennessee State doing really well. Okay. But just if you kind of start looking at some of the iZone school test scores, there's just not a lot of hope for a lot of the young men in particular. And so we felt like God wanted us kind of to do this. And so I visited CGLA, Dr. Elaine Swofford, and mm-hmm. I'd encourage anyone listening to this, go by there. because it's unbelievable. 97% of the girls there live below the poverty level, and 90% are going to college. Wow. And the energy and just the electric vibes in there will blow you away. And so we saw that and got to know Elaine, and like, golly, why is there not a boys' school doing this? And she said, well, there's been four or five groups that have come through here that have, you know, talked about doing it. And they just quit showing up, I guess. And so my wife and I have been at this for about a year and a half now, and we keep showing up, and we've got a very strong board, and we've got a charter that we've just submitted, and we've got a really great plan. And so we are hoping to launch, and we've bought two buildings in Highland Park right next to CGLA, the old Tennessee Temple.
It'll be pretty much one little block right there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With the CGLA.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
They're going to have, you know, the kids are going to have a lot of mixed classes where they'll be, you know, doing choral and arts and different thing, eating lunch together. But then they'll, like, focus on their core stuff, just kind of single sex. But they're right on the same campus together, which is going to be awesome. And all these girls have brothers that are not faring as well as they are. Mm. And so we're going to open in 2018, August, with 60 boys, and it's going to be 6 through 12. And we are very, very excited about some of the neat stuff that we're working on.
Are you guys going to open all those grades year one, or is it going to be one of those graduated
things? Yeah, we're just going to add a grade every year.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of neat stuff. Like, for instance, we've kind of come up with a grit speaker series. So every Friday, we're going to bring in a speaker that'll speak for 20 minutes, just kind of telling their story, defying the odds. And actually, Gary Vaynerchuk's already committed to speaking. And I'm trying to get President Barack Obama. I'm going to have some really neat speakers. And those kids are going to hear something one time, and it's going to stick with them their whole life.
Yeah.
But we're also doing every day the principal's going to be at the front door and greet every young man and kind of set the tone for the day. And we're also kind of taking a page out of Harry Potter and doing the different houses. So we're kind of coming up with all that houses right now. And so it's Chattanooga Prep is going to be an amazing place. And like, we are very fired up. My partners are definitely on board, helping out. And the whole, really every boy will also have a mentor, which is going to be very cool. I'm going to everyone I know and asking for a 6-year commitment. So I'll be, hit you up after this.
Do you guys already have a principal in mind?
No, it's funny. We just put it out online, the opening for the principal. Okay. And we've already had a few just ridiculous people submit a resume. So, and the good news is I'm riding coattails of Dr. Elaine Swofford. So she's the educator. I'm just kind of the, I'm on chairman of the board and kind of helping to set the vision, but I'm letting her kind of operate the school and make sure we know what we're doing.
Side note, is Cordell on that list by any chance? get him back.
I know. Dang.
It would've been amazing.
I know.
You know, another thing with the Chattanooga Prep, you guys bought the soccer field, the old Tennessee Temple soccer field there too, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to turn that into a stadium, or how's that going to work?
No, we're going to kind of just leave it how it is for the time being.
Okay.
And just as a lacrosse and soccer and softball practice field. We're definitely not going to do a stadium at this time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do live in Highland Park, so I'm always fascinated by, I'm just so thrilled as a Highland Park resident to see, you know, I was thrilled for CGLA. I was really happy for Redemption Point to come in and to take that big building.
Mm.
And I'm so thrilled to see Chattanooga Prep. It's just really exciting that these buildings are not going to sit empty. It's not going to be a vacuum within the middle of Highland Park.
Yep.
But that there will be actual life, daily life happening in these spaces. Mm. So as a resident, I'm so excited that you've kind of taken up this baton and are running with it.
Yeah. I love the area. I love the diversity down there. I love the energy. It's a very neat place to be living right now.
Well, you know, Ted, as we're wrapping this up, as somebody who has, you know, been in Chattanooga here for over 15 years, created business, invested into this community, and, you know, you're kind of the front door of a lot of the people who are now coming to Chattanooga, or at least you're one of the first people they meet when they get here. You know, what kind of advice can you give to people who are moving to Chattanooga now, whether that's to be part of the entrepreneurship culture or mm-hmm. just because there's such a great quality of life? Talk to those people.
Yeah.
How do they become part of the city?
That's great advice. I great thoughts there. I think something that just definitely talks to my heart is, you know, definitely from the business side, my partners, I want this to be the best place in the world to start a business. And by that, we want to form an awesome community of citizens that love this place, want to invest in it with their time, with their resources. And it's just such a giving place. There's like 100 ways to get involved in things. Causeway is a great example of how you can get involved quickly. Startup Week. I mean, people don't even understand. Startup Week is so next level, and every single time it grows.
It's our busiest week of the year.
It has to be. Yep. But I mean, there's people, you start just talking to people that are from Arizona, they're from Dallas, and they're trying to figure out what's in the water in Chattanooga. Literally, they have, you know, government people saying, golly, we just keep hearing about this place. And it's just, there's just an attitude here of that you know, the status quo we're leaving in the rearview mirror, and we're just continuing to look forward as a community. And, you know, we want to be one of the most progressive places in the South. And it's there's ways to mentor a Chattanooga 2.0. There's a great example. You can go online and get a ton of great information, how you can get involved there. You know, CoLab is an amazing front door, kind of, if you have got a startup idea, go there. I don't know. There's just a ton of ways right now to get involved in Chattanooga. It's the most exciting time I think I've ever been, you know, every year it seems to be getting better and better. And the quality of people that are moving here is just, I think they're focused on family. They're focused on, but also like, you know, they're fococused on like cool wine over water or, you know, cool bar scene, craft bar, you know, craft beer is getting big. So there's just a very neat thing happening with the outdoors life, with the Iron Man, with the, you know, I love it. My kids think I'm a tour guide in Chattanooga. I literally, they ask them what I think they do. They think I'm a tour guide.
That's great. Yeah. So, you know, come to Chattanooga, come get involved. It's a wonderful place. It's so easy to network and to just, to become a part of the city. So
yeah, it's a pool. It's a medium sized pool, but it's a very deep pool.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. And that's the way my partners and I talk about Chattanooga. We just say, you know what? Yeah, it's not Atlanta. It's not New York. But I mean, you can come here and make a pretty big difference pretty quick. If you're willing to kind of work hard and to network and help people around you. Somebody told me something about Austin. They just said there's an air of like, you can go create it. You can go do it. Mm. And that's what we want here. And I have seen with some of our own companies here, some startups that are kind of growing and getting big. And much like when we were running Access America and kind of getting bored, we're seeing some of our own startups that are kind of hitting a mature phase. And some of the top people there are like, you know what? I want to go create my own business. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How awesome is that?
Yep.
We want those creators, those innovators to go continue to create and innovate. And if you fail, that's okay. Try again. And our whole community will get behind you and continue to support you even if you fail. Try again. And, you know, and that's what, you know, you talk to a lot of successful people and they're, you know, they're not geniuses. They just don't know how to quit.
Yeah. Well, Ted, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Oh, my pleasure. I look forward to headed to get some Congo coffee down at the camphouse.
Great. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Ted Alling for, you know, walking down the hall here at the Lamp Post Group to the studio to sit down and share with us his story and the story of the Lamp Post Group. And this was really my first conversation with Ted, and like I said in the introduction, I was pleasantly surprised by the turn this conversation made. From not just a story about the creation of a business, but more of what he finds so inspiring about Chattanooga, how he is passionate about giving back to this community, and really what citizenship in this city looks like. So hopefully you guys have been inspired by this interview, and if so, I would love for you to share this episode with a friend. You can do that from our website at thecamphouse.com/podcast. And from there, you can share it through email or on Facebook or Twitter. You can also subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, whether that is on iTunes or Google Play, or now even on Stitcher. Well, thank you so much to the Lamp Post Group for letting us use their studio to record this episode. You can always learn more specifically about the Lamp Post Group at their website, lamppostgroup.com. Or if you want to learn more about Dynamo, you can check out hellodynamo.com or check out their podcast, Dynamo Discussions. And it's meeting with these tech startups to talk about logistics technology and kind of the revolution that's happening within logistics. So thank you all for being here. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you again next week.